Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Hot round!
I don't. What is hot round?
Will you just go stand on the other side, please?
Billy Bob! This is it! The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Then he pivots, fakes, chucks the big bomb halfway down the field to our hopefully still wide open tailback. I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch.
I need that ball. Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get you the ball.
Are you gonna get me the ball?
I'll get you the ball.
I hope he didn't kill somebody.
When we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
I got a whole lot of money. Y'all it for me. Bottle key popping that water, man.
This is Rivalry Week, and you're listening to the 11 Personnel Podcast. Nick Roush hanging out with you a day earlier than normal with Adam Luckett. It's a big week, Mr. Luckett.
Yes, it is. We have been waiting for this for a while now. This, I know a lot of people didn't like the move change, especially when folks like you that talk about it for a living because you get the whole summer.
Oh, man, the summer to talk about it all.
But it makes, to me, it makes the end of the season that much sweeter, that this is the final cap of the year. You get the team, your arch rival, your arch nemesis, you play them last. It's bragging rights all throughout the offseason, and you're playing your rival on the day everybody else is playing theirs. So, for me, it's exciting. I love having this game at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And since it's moved to the end of the season, the games have been pretty entertaining for the most part.
Yeah.
Especially on Kentucky's side. They've lost a couple, but they've been right there in them. And then, you know, of course, last year they just hammered Louisville to pretty much put the end to the Petrino era.
Yeah, this is the one that I think has the most chirping back and forth, because I don't think the fan base have ever felt it's been this even going into a game. The first few times they played it at the end of the year, Mark Stoops was trying to get to a bowl game, and they were big underdogs. I don't know exactly what the lines were, but it was one of those things where you were fighting an uphill battle, and they played them close, and then they would ultimately let those close games slip away at the end. You had a big upset. But this time, look, it feels like over the last 2 weeks, since both teams had cupcakes in the penultimate game of the season, which, if you've never heard me say penultimate, I try not to say it too often, but it's my favorite word to use. It's just freaking awesome.
You say that for Thrones.
Yeah, it is a kind of a Game of Thrones type word, but it's second to last, and it's a great way to say penultimate. I learned that, though, from
the big TV term.
Yeah, I learned it from the Lemony Snicket books. Never read them, but I know the second to last one was Penultimate Peril. Really expanded my vocabulary without even reading the book.
What do you know about that?
Yeah. Exactly. Well, a little bit of education for you this fine Thanksgiving week. We're hoping to give you this pod on your way to wherever you're going for your holiday travels. It's a big travel week. I'll be traveling.
Or if you just need some alone time.
Yeah, that too. That too. But this feels like the perfect storm, because both you and I, we're both from the city of Louisville. We both grew up dealing with those hill jacks. I know they want to call Kentucky hillbillies, but I mean the knowledge that is spewed from the L1 C4ers on a regular basis, it's obnoxious. And the fact is Kentucky is the best there is and ever was, and Louisville stinks. Now, to put aside the childish stuff, this stuff is like a daily basis of us arguing over the most trivial of things, the most trivial of matters, nitpicking at words and arguments. And this is the first time since I've been doing radio regularly. Like, we've only had this podcast. This is our first year of this podcast. I've done a couple other 3 or 4 years ago, but it wasn't like that lead-in in the summer when you had the entire time to just ignorantly, because that's what it was. Everybody was ignorant. It was all based off expectations and, well, this guy could be good. this feels like we're going back to that because of A, the way that the teams are polar opposites of one another, and B, the fact that they both played pretty terrible schedules.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go into this game, it's kind of like, well, do you believe in offense score more points, or do you believe in defense? And if you believe in defense, you're riding with the Cats, and if you believe and running the damn ball, and if you believe in offense, then you're riding with Scott and his tots over at U of L.
Do you believe in numbers, or do you believe in flash? Do you believe your eyes, or do you believe what the data tells you? Because these teams are – Louisville has the eye candy. They have the big play receiver, the big play running back, the dual threat quarterback who throws bombs. They win games 38-35.
69-52, yeah. Or 62-59.
And then last week against Syracuse, what was it, like 56-34, something like that. And then on the other side, you've got Kentucky, who doesn't throw the ball.
Nope.
Runs it, sits on the ball, eats clock, played a game where they had time possession for 41 minutes and lost. They've been in another game where they've been shut out, but they want to limit the game. They play what Scott Satterfield said in his press conference this week. They play kind of old school football. Mm-hmm. They just run the ball and play good defense. And so it's a contrast of styles in a way, but at the same time, both these teams kind of play the same. They both have a 3-4 defense, different, but they both have a 3-4 structure. Offensively, they both are run first, and they both aren't in a hurry to go to move.
Mm-hmm.
They're cool with playing a limited game, a limited possession games. So when you look at all that, it's a very, very interesting matchup.
Which I think surprised me just digging into the numbers because, unfortunately, since both teams are bad, they get stuck at about the same crappy kickoff schedules. So a lot of the times this year they've been playing at the same time, so I haven't been able to watch as much Louisville football as I typically do. But I would keep up with the scores, and you see all these big plays. But then you look, and they've run 2/3 of their play calls have been runs. Like, wait. That, mm-hmm. But 90-yard touchdown. But 60-yard touchdown pass, like what? Mikael Cunningham, he's 8th in QBR. What's the deal? And then you go through and look and realize that, and I think 5 of the 10 games he's played, he hasn't had double-digit completions. It's like 8 or 9 completions
and
for like
about
12 or 16 attempts.
About every game, and almost every game I've seen, he's had to go out for injury for one way or the other. Whether it be a rolled ankle here, sore wrist there.
Shoulder. Yeah.
So he's very fragile.
Fragile is how it's pronounced.
And then early in the year, in fall camp, he got injured, hurt his foot.
Mm-hmm.
That kept him out and gave Puma Pass the job. And then Puma gets hurt and he takes over.
Oh, Puma.
But even then, he rotated with their true freshman, Evan Conley. Mikael Cunningham got hurt against Wake Forest. Conley had to come in and kind of won them the game. Then it gets Clemson and Virginia. They rotated both of them. Then after that Virginia game, he became the full-time starter, and that's been the last 3 games entering this one. So they've had like a quarterback carousel there. But, yeah, they are a big-play, explosive offense. They live off the big play, and they've been able to produce a ton this year. You're seeing what Scott Satterfield can do when he has some top-notch speed in his offense.
Yeah.
He's very, very good at setting up defenses and throwing it deep and – very good at calling those shot plays, knowing when to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been good at it all year, and it's created an offense that's putting up 32.8 points per game.
Big game
for 34.5 points per game.
They're giving up 32.8.
Right, which they're 25th in scoring offense. They're 11th in yards per play. They're 8th in yards per pass attempt, 28th in yards per carry. They've just gotten a lot of big plays. This is a really good offense.
Big game for Yusuf Corker.
Mm-hmm.
Can't get sucked up. He's really good at run support, but you can't get sucked up and get beat on those deep shots.
But at the same time, they're going up against a defense, against a defensive line that's bigger than any defensive line they've seen,
mm-hmm.
even bigger than Clemson.
Yep.
A team that's structured different than any other team that Louisville plays in that Kentucky. They're an option football team.
Yes. If you look at Bottom Kentucky's line, pass offense numbers, they're in there with all the military academies and Northwestern.
There was a video this week, Mike Gundy.
It's pretty good. You got to look at tweeted it out. It's really entertaining.
where his – I'll tweet it out when I send out the link for this one, too. If you haven't seen it, you can go watch it. I'll tag it with it. But essentially, Gundy is at his press conference, and he's talking about last night he stayed up to 2 a.m. in his office, and he just – this thought came into his head.
It's really Gundy, too. Like, so, he's like, let me tell y'all something.
So he pulls out these numbers, and basically they're carries for every option quarterback that Oklahoma had in their history. Now, for those that don't know, Oklahoma was the school that made the wishbone famous. They ran the wishbone forever. So they name all these guys. And then he gets to Jalen Hurts, who's had more carries than all of them. Yeah. And he's pretty much, guys, this is wishbone out of the spread. This is option football.
He's fooling you.
And yeah, they're fooling you. This is what it is. You have to, what your defense, you have to scheme it to, everything you do is have to stop the quarterback. You have to run. You have to tackle him. In a similar way, the same thing's going on with Kentucky. Kentucky, and then Gundy named off some plays Oklahoma's running. It's kind of what Kentucky's doing. What do you see in option offenses? You see a lead draw. That's what they run all. Kentucky runs all the time with them both. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think the big run against Arkansas to ice the game was lead draw. And there's been a bunch of other times they've run it. They've run speed option. They've run quarterback counters where you fake everything one way and you bring it back the other way. That's a base option play. So to get back to my point, this is just a different type of attack that Louisville has not seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, it's a different type of attack for Kentucky because of the speed they have and how often they want to take those deep shots. And the type of run game they use, Nick, is what you have to use if you're facing a big, large defensive line. They get their linemen moving laterally. And then they have a quick little back.
Pick a spot in the zone.
Pick a spot and just get up in there and make a guy miss and take off.
Your linebackers.
Which, yes.
Have to be, I mean, this is a game.
Your linebackers and safeties are huge in this game.
This is a game where you have to be sound in your run fits. You can't try to play hero ball. There's none of that. And if we're being completely honest, it's been a bad week for the linebackers in that DeAndre Square, he had a stinger. He didn't play against UT Martin.
Linebackers had a bye week last week.
Yeah. so he had a stinger. He didn't play. He's got a non-contact jersey on at practice right now. Chris Oates was suspended for a violation of team rules. Cash Daniel, who knows what the hell's going on with that guy. But it's his last shot to make the best of his time at Kentucky. And, I mean, luckily Jamin Davis played well. But you got all this kind of moving around a week before. Those guys have to be on point.
Mm-hmm.
They just do. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because the thing like Kentucky's run defense has been incredible since that first bye week, except for you had your Rakeem Boyd big run, you had your DeAndre Swift had like what three or four big ones, but he eventually wore him down in the second half. But I think he really had just a couple big plays before they wore him down. But that's it. But what that tells me though is that it only takes one or two big plays, and this level of offense is what they're made for, is the one or two big plays.
Mm-hmm. Really, Kentucky has struggled. That's been my biggest gripe. They've struggled a little bit stopping RB1s. But I did some digging this week, and it just pulled out some numbers since Kentucky had Bolden take over at quarterback. What are their numbers? Like, if you put it out for the whole season, what would their numbers rank nationally? Yards per carry in this run, they're giving up 3.90, which ranks top 50, which is decent, pretty good.
Yeah.
From what they were, from what they've been in the past under Mark Stoops, because what Mark Stoops does is he helps that secondary as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
No big plays, make them earn it, make them be committed to the run. And going up against Louisville, they've got a running back by the name of Javion Hawkins.
Yes, redshirt freshman, I believe.
Redshirt freshman, was a low 3-star recruit in the class of 2018.
1,000-yard rusher.
He is 152 yards away from setting the school record for running back yards in a season.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
So Louisville,
still not Lamar Jackson yards, though.
Louisville has a big three on offense. They have Hawkins. It all starts and ends with Hawkins. Everything they want to do is based off his run game. So that comes to, you know, the play action and setting the tempo and what they want to do. Five of the last seven games, he's had over 20 carries. He's only 182 pounds, but he's been durable. And he's been really good, and he's coming off a career high against Syracuse at like 233 yards.
Yeah, like 20 carries. Yeah,
he ranks in the top 10, top 5 in 30-yard rushes this season. So he's a big play back.
Yeah. Stoops said no less than five times that Louisville is dedicated to running the football. Mm-hmm. Committed to running the football.
Right.
This is a big bullet point this mm-hmm. week.
And then Scott Satterfield in his press conference said Kentucky is pretty much said Kentucky is committed to playing their safeties deep and backing off in coverage and not giving you that big play. So we're going to have to do a really good job of timing up when we go deep. And we have to get the run game going. If they don't get the run game going, they could be in trouble because of how Kentucky wants to play structurally. So that tells me I'm expecting some gadget plays from the Louisville side.
It's the last game of the year. Can't hold anything back right now.
So anyway, they have a big three. Next one, Tutu Atwell.
Mm-hmm.
50 catches, 1,000-something yards, 11 touchdowns.
A lot of jet sweeps.
They've sent him on jet sweeps, the little fly sweep, so it's a pass technically. But really it's just it's really an add-on to the run game.
It's kind of funny, like, if you actually look at Hawkins and Atwell, you're like, dude, those guys can't be, like, ACC playmakers. They're tiny.
Yeah, but both under 190 pounds. Atwell's 153 pounds.
Yeah, but Duke can fly, though.
Yeah, he's a jet. So he is a guy that they use all over the place. He's their big play guy, number one big play guy. And Cunningham throws a really good deep ball. They've hit Atwell on deep posts. They've hit him on deep corners. They've hit him on deep outs. So he's a guy that you have to worry about because he creates separation so easily. And Kentucky, we saw them get challenged against Tennessee, but in a different way.
See, that makes me worry more about Fitzpatrick because Fitzpatrick is their big play. He's their Marquez Callaway. He's go up and catch a 50-50 ball. And that was the Tennessee game. And I just have that in the back of my mind.
But if you're Kentucky and you're Mark Stoops and you're Brad White, you're living with those 50-50s with Fitzpatrick over what you may give up with Atwell.
Yeah, yeah. But this is just me, the fan.
And Seth Dawkins. Seth Dawkins is the same way, same type of receiver.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot he was even still there.
He's a senior. He's been there forever.
Is it? Oh, it's Fitzpatrick who's coming back, and his little brother's coming to U of L.
Yeah, Fitzpatrick, a redshirt junior.
Yeah, yeah. But they came in the seventh time, and they were caught passes with Justify. People forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were on the cover of the program with Justify.
That went well.
Yeah, real well. Two wins well.
And then the final one, Mekhi Becton. He's going to be one of the first offensive tackles off the board in the NFL draft.
He's a freaking ham.
He's looking like a second or third round grade. They run behind him a lot. He's 6'7", like 360 pounds. He's a monster.
His dad's a Husky. Mm-hmm. You'll see him in the parking lot for a game. Dude's he's a monster.
He's going to be a really big challenge for TJ Carter because that's who's probably going to be lined up against him the most.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get outside on those zones, he's going to get on some of those outside linebackers. And that's the position, I think, when you look at Boogie Watson, Josh Pascal, Jordan Wright, those guys have to be on their game. They have to set the edge, force everything back inside, and then that's when it comes to linebackers, is the filling gaps and making tackles on Hawkins. Which is another thing, we've seen Weaver be really good at kind of setting that edge.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm interested to see how much Stoops and White throw him out there, yeah.
I am happy that today Brad White said that the UT Martin game was the best game that Josh Pascal had played this year, and he said it wasn't just like because he got big numbers and he was bullying guys at UT Martin, but he was like, he had that twitch back.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, I was watching some of his high school film last week. Like, hey, Josh, when'd you get so slow? You know, like kind of give him hell. Because that twitchiness we really hadn't seen this year. And he's going to need that on Saturday. He's going to have to, like you said, set the edge, not let them break contain right away. Because, I mean, hell, I'm thinking about it from the other end. But when the Tennessee dude, I forget who it was, just set the edge on the Bowden toss sweep on that final play. Like, it just can completely blow up plays. They would otherwise be, if not just plainly productive, but incredibly explosive. And that's what Louisville—they love those outside zones.
Yes, it's their bread and butter. That's what they want to do.
It's whereas UK they prefer more of the inside zones. But my question to you, Adam Luckett, if you're Kentucky on the other side of the ball going up against Louisville's defense, is this another Arkansas type game? / Tennessee, where you try to spread them out and get on the edge? Or is this a let's put our nose down and get 6-7 yards up the middle at each and every time.
The biggest advantage Kentucky has in this game is their offensive line versus Louisville's defensive line. I got some numbers that are not pretty for Louisville's run defense. Yards per carry, they rank 98th.
Ooh, it's not good.
Rush yards of 20-plus, rank 91st. They've allowed 18 in 11 games.
Not good either.
Rush yards of 30-plus yards, they rank 91.
No. That's
they've given up 9.
Oh, wow.
And those numbers, they sound bad, but it gets even worse.
Oh, no, not worse.
Louisville has played, I believe it's 5 offenses that rank sub-80 in rush offense. You look at Syracuse, haven't been able to run the ball on anybody.
Okay.
Touchdown last week.
Do you have the average that each of those 5 teams got in those games?
I can pull it up.
It would be fun if you could figure that out, because I would guess that against those 5 terrible rushing teams,
I do have this.
It would probably be about .180 that they gave up in those games.
I do have this. They played 2 top 25 rushing offenses.
Yes.
Clemson, Boston College.
Yes.
Neither of them have any type of QB run game.
No.
Combined, those two teams average 6.8 yards per carry. And in those games, Clemson and Boston College each scored over 35 points. Boston College scored 38, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Clemson was up there in the 40s.
Yeah,
it was
played
48.
They played terrible, too. That Trevor Lawrence had like 3 picks in the first half.
Mm-hmm. But Travis Etienne ran wild against them.
Do you want to hear what Mark Stoops and Eddie Grand had to say about Louisville's defense?
Yes, give it to me.
They're playing harder. That's it. That's where they improved from last year.
What did you get to talk to Stenberg today?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He had a, this is the kind of game we live for.
Oh, man. The boys are going to have fun on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have a lot of fun. Man, the guys there, I love that Mark Stoops, like, I know that some people don't like when the players are tweeting, like, kind of nonsense. I love it, man. Let them talk all the shit they want. Just let it fly. It's a rivalry. Let's have some fun with
it. I'm going to get to that in just a second, but I have some of these numbers pulled up.
Okay. Hit me with some numbers.
Here's some sub-80 teams rushing against Louisville. Wake Forest ran for 245 yards, average 5.33 yards per carry.
Was Coburn still playing then?
No, they don't have Coburn this year. Oh, he graduated.
Man. That was fun watching him just make Bobby Petrino, like, cry.
Miami. Yes, that was cool.
Those were great. Those
197 yards, 6.16 yards per carry.
Jeez, honey.
And then NC State, they did a good job against NC State and against Virginia. Virginia's horrible running the football. And then last week, Syracuse, who hadn't been able to run it all year, popped some big runs off against Louisville. So when you look at going against Kentucky, they haven't faced any type of QB run game all year. Any QB run element they face, now Bryce Perkins for Virginia was a little bit, but it's nothing even close to what they're going to get from Bowden.
And it's not anything that – I don't care if you put Tutu Atwell at quarterback on the scout team this week. Mm-hmm. You can't simulate the – especially now that Kentucky's 6 game into this. I remember – I forget what game it was where Bowden pitched it late, like 6 yards down the field. And that kind of stuff you can't simulate in practice. And that's the kind of stuff that Kentucky can only do because they're that comfortable in it. The running backs know where they need to be in relation to Bowden. And it can – I mean, that's – they're doing the little things now that can add up to a bunch of big yards in space. And also, think about this. When was the last time Kentucky actually had to, like, do something with any kind of innovation in their offense? Like, put in a bunch of weird wrinkles and stuff. They've had 2 weeks to sit on plays.
Yeah, and Grant has historically come out and done some stuff at Louisville in the last couple
years. Yeah, Steven Johnson. He loved that shit. Remember?
Mm-hmm. And Grant, his offense, has put up monster numbers against Louisville. I'm going to pull this up, what ran against. Now, of course, it's a different administration, but you have, like, I just read those rushing numbers for you.
Mm-hmm.
So, in 2018, Kentucky ran for 340 yards, 7.39 yards per carry.
That's a lot of yards.
5 touchdowns.
Yep.
2017, you remember, they got blown out, but Benny Snell ran for over 200 yards.
This is his only, I think it was his only 200-yard game of his career.
Mm-hmm. Kentucky had 228 yards rushing with just Snell, pretty much. 2 touchdowns, 5.3 yards per carry. And then 2016, Louisville had, I believe, the number one run defense in the country. If it was number one, it was like top 5.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky went in there, 43 carries, 229 yards, 5.33 yards per carry.
I think that was that the first year that the team who ran for more yards lost? Because I think Lamar had more rushing yards that year. But it might be. That was a stat that, like, you just always said.
Yeah, they ran for more in that game.
It was Governor's Cup. Whoever won the rushing battle won the game. Mm-hmm. And that changed that year. And I don't know if it's held true since. But if you can still go with that old line of thinking.
I mean, it has. 2017, they ran for more. And then 2018, Kentucky ran for more. So.
Yeah. So,
and that's Mark Stoops' favorite stat.
Exactly. So whoever runs for more yards, I think Kentucky is probably going to run for more yards. I think that's safe to say. If they don't, then this game won't even be close. But that's something you can hang your hat on as a Kentucky fan.
And as Satterfield mentioned in his press conference, Louisville's had issues with gap integrity. And against an option offense, essentially, that's the last damn thing you want. Brian Brown, their defense coordinator, is going to be up late this week, just hoping that he says all the right things to practice this week to not give those, not have those breakdowns. Because you have those breakdowns, it could be some big, big plays.
So part of, I mean, I mentioned it earlier as just like a joke when I said, oh, they played harder. But that also, like reading between the lines, it tells me that Stoops is thinking, we can score on these dudes. This game is about, can we stop them? I think the offense believes that it's going to easily put up 30 points.
Well, I just think you have to remember Kentucky's identity, their formula. I've also got some numbers for you in these six games for Bolden at quarterback. I'm going to read off some numbers. Yards per play, 6.15, 40, that'd be 44th over a stretched out season. Not great, but pretty good. Yards per carry, 6.44, they're 3. Rush yards per game, 325.3. That would rank second only behind Navy. So, option offense.
Yeah.
14th, or third down percentage, 48.44 would rank 14th nationally. Red zone touchdown rate, 72.22% would rank 20th nationally. All these numbers are, you know, these numbers tell me this is the top 30, top 35 offense in the last six games. But they're only scoring 25.7 points per game, which would rank 87th nationally.
So they're moving the ball, but they're not finishing.
Well, they have red zone touchdown rate of 72.22%. That tells me they are finishing. They're going slow as molasses. They are eating clock as much as possible. They're shrinking the game as much as possible.
Chewing it up.
So
on LSD, baby.
On
long,
Kentucky's
slow
other side,
drives.
In this time, they're giving up 14 points per game, 4.6 yards per play. The pass defense has been excellent. They're 34.21% on third down. But only six teams in college football have played more snaps than Kentucky's less snaps than Kentucky's defense. So it's a yin and a yang type thing. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Then that's how Mark Stoops has set it up. So they feel confident, I'm assured that they do, that they're going to go down here and they're going to run for close to 400 yards. I really think they believe that. They're going to average 6.5, 6.6, 6.7 yards per carry. They're going to pop off a few big ones. And they're going to get probably eight possessions in this game, and they think they're going to score, 28 to 31 points. Where the game comes down to is when Louisville gets those 7-8 possessions, what do they do with them?
Yeah.
And how do they slow down Louisville's attack? And that's the matchup really to look for, because big plays, Louisville has lived off big plays like we've talked about.
Right, right.
The Cards have 27 plays of 40-plus yards or more. That ranks first nationally.
That's a lot of plays of over 40.
Kentucky has given up 4 plays of 40-plus yards or more. That ranks second nationally. So, I mean, it's strength on strength in
Something's
this game.
Something's got to give, yeah.
And there's been a lot of talk this week. The Louisville spin on this is, well, Kentucky hasn't played anybody, and they've played in weather. And that's why their defense like this. Where Louisville, their spin is
– Kentucky.
Well, we just get big plays. But the thing is, guess what the wind's going to be, Nick Roush?
Oh,
12 to 13 miles per hour.
Oh, the wind has picked up already?
And you know what affects the passing game as much as anything?
Kicking game.
The wind and the kicking game.
Oh, I didn't know what answer you were going
plus rain. So you have that going on there, and I think that plays into Kentucky's hands in that matchup. Because it's going to be damn hard for Louisville to win that game in a shrink game with possessions and how Kentucky wants to play. If they don't get big plays, it's going to be damn hard for them to win the football game.
And if Kentucky doesn't turn the ball over, because that's really what it amounts to, is how much
stolen possessions are going to be huge in this game.
Yes, valuing possessions. And that leads me to my biggest worry, Adam Luckett.
Go for it.
We saw it last week come to fruition in every single form. Special teams.
Mm-hmm.
Special teams, it's the third element of the game that often gets overlooked. And last week we saw all of Kentucky's blemishes, from Josh Ali muffing the punt to missing an extra point.
And then the weather adds into that.
Yeah, it just – special teams is something that has won Kentucky games in this rivalry in the past with Austin McGinnis. And I don't think they had a – no, they haven't had a return against it. But Kentucky's got a pretty good returner too, if I'm correct. Ahsan Hall? Is that his
Louisville
name?
Louisville does, yeah.
Ahsan Hall.
He has – one touchdown return. They've put 2-2 back at punt a couple times, and one of them he took for a touchdown. I wouldn't be surprised in a bind if they put him back there this game.
And I wouldn't be surprised if Kentucky puts Bowden back there. But to the overall greater point, this is a big game where Josh Ali, you got to catch the ball. Just catch the damn thing. Wave a fair catch every single time. I don't care what you do. Mason King's a better punter than the dude from UT Martin just rolling it down the field. This guy's a stud. He's a St. X Tiger, so
Mason King.
Maybe you should, I don't know, Tanya Harding his ass or something. But that was a joke, people. But at least it's going to have enough distance where he should be able to get underneath some of these, but he's got to catch him, because if that ball bounces, it's 15 yards. And while if you're Kentucky, you're like, oh, that's good. You got to win this field position battle. And those little hidden yards, when we go back out of this game, we're not going to find it on the box score. It's hard to find in the box score. Mm-hmm. But those hidden yards are going to make all the difference, especially when both teams have inconsistent kicking. Louisville had a really good kicker in Blanton Crikey until he got hurt. Now they're dealing with a backup who's thrown for a touchdown, but he's missed extra points.
Missed two extra points and missed 0-for-1 on field goal.
Yeah, so like the kicking game is essentially non-existent.
And here's another thing. I got all kinds of stats, Nick Ralph.
I love this. You're like, you know what? I got one less day to crunch the numbers, but damn it, I'm going to crunch every single one.
Didn't get much work done today. I just read Kentucky's zone touchdown rate.
Yeah.
This is why I'm not super worried about the field goal issue. Louisville's defense ranks 121st nationally in red zone touchdown rate. When Kentucky gets down there, I feel pretty good about their chances to punch it in.
Got to take care of that ball.
Right.
Chris now, Rodriguez powered in. Maybe carry Lynn Bowden over your shoulder.
The real matchup on the other end is going to be for Louisville against Kentucky. Louisville scores touchdowns on 70% of their red zone possessions. Kentucky, in the six-game run, 53.85%. They've been getting stops. So that's really – the more I look at this game, it's more strength on strength. Louisville's offense versus Kentucky's defense.
Which strength wins out?
But what I always look to in games like this where it's strength on strength, it's usually the other side of the football that wins the game that no one really talks about. And on this side, it's Kentucky's offense, that offensive line, going up against that Louisville defense that is small in this 3-4 scheme. They are small. Rajay Burns came out of Trinity High School, went to Ohio State.
Yep.
Was a three-star recruit,
Was out of there in after a year.
Yeah.
If that.
He was a corner coming out of high school.
Where are they going to play now?
He played safety under the last regime.
Uh-huh.
He's playing their Sam linebacker position. It's like a hybrid linebacker slash safety.
Rajay Burns is a linebacker?
Well, their defense is kind of a hybrid 3-3-5, 3-4. Here's what Satterfield does on App State. And it was my biggest issue with him. Is this going to work at a bigger level? Is on offense, they want not necessarily big offensive linemen. They want speed, and they want guys who can move lateral.
Mm-hmm.
On defense, it's the same thing. They don't want – if you look at their recruiting class, it's fitting to this point. They've gotten a couple defensive linemen that are like 240, 250 pounds. One's like 5'11". They want guys that can move laterally and fill gaps, and then they want to get as much speed on the field as possible. So that's why you're seeing both their outside linebackers are under 220 pounds. So like when it comes to setting edge and stuff like that, that's not a thing they're really worried about. They're going to slant, they're going to stunt, and they're going to do some different things. They're going to drop in different coverages, try to confuse a quarterback. But that's not going to matter against Kentucky because they're coming downhill at their ass.
Right, right.
So how does that match up? Like Like, if Rajay Burns gets stuck on Justin Rigg or Keaton Upshaw, can Kentucky bury them and make them pay? Can Kentucky get to the second level? Can they move out their 285-pound nose guard, G.G. Robinson? Can they get to the second level? Can Logan Stenberg get on their inside line?
295-pound nose guard?
Yeah, it's like 285, 290. They rotate two guys there. One of them's 310, but G.G. Robinson's their better player inside.
So that's like Bully's belly is that much. You don't even need the rest of them.
The defense is set up different. Like I said, like it, this defense Scott Satterfield runs, it's a defense that would stop his offense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not how he's kind of built the team.
Kentucky's offense is not like that.
Yeah, but on the same side, it's kind of the perfect offense to kind of go against Kentucky's defense in the run game. And if they're able to have success on the run, that means – we've heard Mark Stoops talk about you have to play with numbers sometimes, which was – I think it was noteworthy because he said that a lot in press conferences, like playing with numbers in the run game.
Yeah, especially in this kind of offense.
He said they were run first, but he never really brought that up.
No.
Because they have a structure, what they think they want to do, and if they can do it, it's going to be hard for Louisville to complete those big plays.
So, in summary, in this game, in a battle of strength on strength, the strengths are going to neutralize one another. It's going to be a nasty battle. Where you get the edge is from the non-strengths. And in that case, Kentucky has the edge. Because Louisville's and I think that's kind of how the way I've been failing to articulate this all week is that Kentucky's offense is going to be able to run against Louisville's defense no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how good is Louisville's offense versus how good is Kentucky's defense?
Mm-hmm.
And some are going to win some are going to lose some battles. But if you can dominate one of those, then ultimately Kentucky should be able to come out victorious, especially if you're playing at home and you've got weather on your side.
Right. And in this series, it has not been friendly to the home team.
10 years since the last time Kentucky won
2009.
What were you doing in 2009, Adam Luckett?
I was in college. I was at the game.
Were you in the student section that was previously in that back right corner?
Oh, yes. I was in the upper deck, though.
Upper deck.
Mm-hmm.
Did you
had a few beverages that day?
Now, were you a brown water or a lighter canned?
Canned variety. Might have snuck a couple in the game.
Now, what was your strategy back in college for sneaking in? Because they started to change it as I was getting towards the end, where they would make you show like inside your jacket or they'd look in your boots, just straight back pocket.
Didn't even put it in the back. Snuck it behind the pants and just snuck it in
kind
there.
Kind of in the waistband?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was
never had any issues.
I learned the we would fill up water bottles with brown water and tuck them in our cowboy boots, and they wouldn't check those. I think they check them now, though. They're up to our tricks now. Keeneland's they're big sticklers on sneaking in boots at Keeneland.
2014, we went down to LSU.
Fun game.
And probably about, I don't know, 30 minutes or so before kickoff, it's my brother and I. We had a couple beers, just kind of drinking them before we go in the stadium, but also had our pints. So we're trying to figure out how we want to stick it in. So I'm going to my regular move. Louisiana Sheriff comes up to us. We're like, well, we'll see how this goes. He goes, just stick in your boot. They won't say nothing. And then we sat there and talked to that guy for 10, 15 minutes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Almost as awesome as this week of sports, just in general. I know we're going to talk more about the UK-UofL game, but there is – I mean, every time you turn on your television, something's happening. Anthony Edwards is scoring 28 points in 10 minutes. Michigan State is
– one of my favorite weeks of the
losing.
Year.
Feast week, it's a glorious time of the year. It's a glorious time to make money with MyBookie. That's mybookie.ag/11personnel. And for this week only, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. The worst game that's probably being played the entire week.
Jeff Driscoll versus Mitch Trubisky.
Louisiana Tech Jeff Driscoll, too, from Ruston.
Right.
Yeah. Ruston, Jeff Driscoll, greater than Gainesville, Jeff Driscoll.
Ruston, Jeff Driscoll got drafted.
Yes.
Gainesville, Jeff Driscoll got kicked out.
He got a little Muschamp king.
Yeah.
This game is going to be terrible. It's that 12:30 game on Thanksgiving Day, so it's the first one. It's right when you get in that big lunch, and you're going to be tired, and you're going to sleep through it. But here's the thing.
Right in the nap zone.
You can choose one of those teams against the spread for up to $250. If you win, boom, free money. you won the game. If you lose, don't worry. MyBookie is giving you all your money back in the Bears-Lions game. It's a no-brainer, folks. You cannot lose. No risk. All gravy on Turkey Day. It's going to be absolutely delicious. Just log on to mybookie.ag. Make your first deposit using our promo code 11personnel. 11personnel. You get MyBookie's going to match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll along with that risk-free bet. So you can, in theory, you can put $1,000 in. They're going to top that with $1,000 more, and then you're getting at least $250.
Win-win.
It's so much money that you can just be – I mean, think about all the gifts you could buy on Black Friday with all this free money that you're rolling in. So do yourself a favor. Go to mybookie.ag. Use the promo code 11personnel. Don't let this opportunity pass by. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
Let it ride.
I like a lot of these spreads on the college football rivalry games too. The SEC ones, they're just like, hey, you want some money? Here, let me pull up these spreads real quick, Adam Luckett, because here's the thing. People don't know this.
You remember back in, I believe it was August, you all had me on KRC.
Yeah.
I told you my favorite weekends of the year.
Uh-huh.
This one's right up there.
Also, was it 2 or 3 weeks ago we had our rankings of non-UK football games of the year, of the calendar year?
Mm-hmm.
Was Egg Bowl in my picks?
That was mine. I had it on there, I think.
Dude, Egg Bowl is
Egg Bowl is awesome.
Freaking awesome.
I love that it's on Thanksgiving, too.
7:30 Thanksgiving night. So this is like you're done dealing with everybody. Yeah. You can just pound some just and then like nibble on some leftovers. Miss State, 2.5-point favorites. Just give me the points at Ole Miss. Just give them to me. John Rhys Plumlee running a little bit of whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah,
feels like Moorhead has 1 foot out the door.
Oh, my gosh. Give me Ole Miss. The Iron Bowl. I like our guy Bo, but they really have a shot?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
I mean, granted, not having Tua where like Mac Jones is going to take some sacks from that defensive line. But I don't know. I just feel like Alabama is.
I think it's a 50-50 game. It's going to come down the wire, whoever executes in crunch time.
But Arkansas, they're only 12-point underdogs.
In Little Rock, too.
Yeah.
The Arkansas crowd in Little Rock is kind of like the Kentucky crowd of the SEC tournament.
Oh, get a little rowdy?
It gets rowdy in there. Because they usually play one game a year there. And there for a while, it wasn't a big game. But when Chad Morris he said they're going to play an SEC game there every year. Now we'll see if that changes with the new coach. But Mike Leach said it's the loudest stadium he's ever been in.
Really?
They asked him that, I believe it was last summer or so. That's, of course, when he was at Kentucky.
Right, yeah.
Because he said it's nothing but concrete, and everybody in the stadium is screaming their damn head off, and it's just bouncing off concrete. He said it's the loudest place he's ever been in.
That game.
War Memorial Stadium.
The wrinkle that Missouri isn't playing for a bowl game really throws a hitch in. I actually wonder if the Lions move at all on it. Because that's a bizarre spot if you're Missouri. Because, like, are you really going to, like, win one for the Gipper, you know? Like, it's kind of bizarre.
You might get, you know, some Arkansas fans going because the coach is gone. Now they got a guy, interim, who's played at Arkansas, been an assistant there for a while. So they all like him. They know they're heading the right direction. So they're all going to be all in trying to get a win.
Line hasn't moved at all. But the part that I do think is significant is that Arkansas is like 2-9 against the spread this year. They've been terrible against the number all year. Other fun lines this week? Do you have any in the SEC in particular that you're all – like Clemson's – they're getting 20, – it's 27
27.
Name your – I think Dabo's going to try to get Muschamp fired. He wants to embarrass him so bad.
Yeah, they don't like each other.
Yeah.
I'm interested in that Florida State game a little bit.
I think it's a good spot for Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Just the spot, and it's 18 points. Like Florida, they're not a big high scoring team. And our guy, what's his name?
Odell Haggins.
I think he's a big win for the Gipper kind of guy. I think players really are going to be playing for him. Which I think that can bring us to our coaching carousel portion of this segment. Florida State, each week, this shit just keeps getting weirder. It just keeps getting weirder. They Billy Gillespie, Willie Taggart.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, ain't it?
Billy Gillespie, and Willie Taggart never signed a contract.
That's happening more and more, that schools are trying to not pay coaches money. who was it? There was someone last year that it was a big issue. I can't. Oh, Kansas and David Beatty.
Yeah.
He had to take them to court about what they owe him.
Les Miles dropped his suit to go to take the Kansas job. Basically, he said
the happiest people when Kansas hired Les Miles were the people in that LSU office.
They knew they didn't
realize they were off that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a big battle. That's going to be probably a. So if issue gets pretty ugly in courts.
I mean, that's at least, I mean, Florida State, that'll probably save them. At least it's $17 million. That'll get them down to 10, right?
Might be.
Yeah, I mean, in an ideal world. But that thing's getting weird, and it's old news now. It's about a week old since the Mark Stoops. It's not a week old. It feels like it's been a week old. It's only 3 days old when news broke that Stoops took an interview with Florida State in Cincinnati. What was your initial reaction to that news, Adam?
Well, it's the search firm. The search firm is going out and interviewing a bunch of different candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So when Stoops interviewed, you also have to consider that they've probably talked to Matt Campbell, Mike Norvell. It's been reported that Odell Haggins met with them. So they're meeting with all these candidates right now. And basically, it is what we thought it was. He went there. They talked. And they were pretty blunt with them, saying where he was on the list.
Uh-huh.
And I think financially it got brought up, and it wasn't the pot wasn't sweet enough for him to hang around and play the game.
But my reading of it was Stoops knew that he was like, well, the pot's not sweet enough, but I can still use this to my advantage. And he did
spotted his way for sure.
Yeah, is going out and telling recruits that, hey, Florida State wanted me. They interviewed me for the job, and I turned them down.
Right. And I'm sure his agent, Jimmy Sexton, is his super agent. He represents
the Drew Rosenhaus of college football, or the Scott Boras, like for MLB.
Jimbo Fisher, Nick Saban, Mark Stoops, and a handful of others.
Mm-hmm.
A who's who in college football. I'm sure he had something to do with that, saying,
let's play it this way.
Because he's probably got another candidate or two that's in that running for that job, and it's probably going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably knew where Mark stood, and he might have been in that meeting and called Florida State out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave Stoops some leverage, let him kind of spin it his way in the public.
Yep.
And it's probably going to lead to him getting a raise after the season from Kentucky. You know, if Stoops gets paid, Jimmy Sexton gets paid.
Yep.
It works out for everybody.
All parties involved.
And it lets Sexton, you know, we get you this one, you know, we'll help you out in the future if something else pops up.
Yep.
So it worked out for Stoops, and I let him get out in front of it, and I was kind of surprised how, like, bluntly he answered the question in the post game.
And it was a very – like, I've always thought that Stoops has never been the best at his
– succinct answers?
Yeah, and he used his words carefully. And it wasn't like he was reading off a script either. So you could tell it was something he'd been mulling over. And I think it was as genuine as it could have been. And I
think what he said was true. He knew that he's got something cooking in this recruiting class. They got a chance to close really damn strong.
Oh, man. You're telling me.
And, like, they could add three or four four-star prospects before the early signing day hits on 12/19. And he was probably getting some blowback from the recruits, obviously, on that. And so that was something he was having to deal with. And it allowed him publicly, like he said, to say, I turned down Florida State, because you're putting it in his words and you control the narrative on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to give him some recruiting momentum. And I think he really kind of played that well.
As well as he could have, if you're wanting to stay at Kentucky.
Right.
Know? He could have gone many different ways, and he didn't. So good news on that front. And it also, he was able to do that while you're messing around with this FCS team, and you can just get onto the rivalry week. Now everybody's attention. Like, we've already, I mean, we reached, what is this, 50 minutes into the show, and your coach is talking, like, this feels like old news because everybody's so focused in on this rivalry week. And before we get back to that, I want to finish with Louisville. But I gotta admit something, Adam Luckett.
Shoot.
You were right. I was wrong.
I wish my wife said that more.
But last week you talked about how Kentucky could potentially end up in Jacksonville, and I kind of just called you on your crap, said you just want to go hang out at Sawgrass with the in-laws, have a free place to stay. And I was doing the – Tyler Thompson asked me to – Tyler, she asked me, she's like, can you just do a bowl scenario thing instead of just a bowl projections? And really the way you look at it, if Florida wins in Tallahassee and they –
in Gainesville.
If they win convincingly and they can hang around that top 10, and some, and, you know, obviously some other things are going to happen at the top. But if Florida hangs in there, that means that you're going to have four SEC teams in New Year's Six. So two of those.
I need Alabama to win two.
Yeah.
Just be safe.
Yeah, yeah. But if you can get four in there, the way that things are as is, then Auburn has to go to the Citrus Bowl. And then you only have three bowl eligible teams for six games. Well, let's just call them a six pack. Mm-hmm. It's
the pool of six, I think, what they call them.
Yeah. So Outback, Gator, Belk, Music City, Texas, Liberty.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last year of their contract cycle. So next year it's going to start a new 6-year bowl cycle where they kind of change things up in affiliations just ever so slightly. So the last year you think, okay, these bowls that teams haven't went to, we're going to send them to the places they haven't gone to yet just to make things easy. So if you play out that scenario, the easy way is just, okay, Texas A&M, you go to Outback, you haven't been there yet. Tennessee, you go to Gator. Kentucky, you go to Belk. Mississippi State, if you can find a way to beat Ole Miss, we'll send you to Texas. That's the chalky way around it. But your theory that, well, maybe A&M just wants to play in Houston because Houston is like Frankfurt for Lexington. It's
the most A&M fans in the country are located in Houston.
Yes. So you're basically getting another home game.
And we have to remember this. Jimbo Fisher is notoriously known for being one of the best closers in recruiting. That game on December 27th gives him a fast start on that late signing period until February, where he can put it really much in the season and put it in drive a few days earlier than as is if he went and played the bowl game.
Yeah. So that's a part of it, but the way that I understand is that the SEC is who ultimately gets the final say and not the bowl games. Because if I'm the Outback Bowl, I want to take Tennessee. They're going to finish the season winning six of their last seven.
Mm-hmm.
So
haven't been to bowl in a couple of years. They're going to travel.
They're going
to
travel real well. So Outback. Here's what it is. You want Tennessee to get the Outback Bowl because that really opens up your lane to going to Jacksonville, getting back to Florida. Because A&M was there in Jacksonville last year. They're not going back. For those who are optimistic about Nashville, hate to burst your bubble, but that means you're probably going to have to lose to Louisville this week, and they're going to have to become an 8-win team and then get to, like, Florida or something.
Because then they would go to the Russell Athletic Bowl down in Orlando.
Yeah. I think it's Camping World now. But
that's what it used to be.
Russell either way, Athletic. Yeah. That would be – that's the only way that you're getting Nashville. And you don't want to lose. You know, you don't want to lose the level for that because from geography standpoint, they're going to send whatever Virginia school or is North Carolina even possible? They're going to send them to
I don't think so. I think North Carolina's probably looking at military independence.
Yeah, so they're going to send those guys to Belk and Louisville geographically. Music City just makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. So you're pretty much stuck without that. So I'm thinking Belk. Yeah, like if we're going to go percentages, I think there's a 50% chance they go to Belk, 35% chance they go to Jacksonville, and then split up the last 15 between Music City, Memphis, and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I stand right now. Is that a fair enough evaluation, Adam Lockett?
Yeah, I agree. I still lean towards that it's either Belk or Gator. I'll probably give close to 70% Belk. I still think the Outback Bowl is a better bowl than the Texas Bowl.
Much better.
So, and it's New Year's Day. But we have to remember A&M can play a Big 12 team in the Texas Bowl. They could play.
They could play one Texas.
I don't think.
They're 7-1 team.
They're struggling. I think they're looking more along the lines of like Oklahoma State. That's who's projected in the Texas Bowl. So they could play somebody they're used to playing, kind of a regional game. Their fans would be excited about it. And, of course, it's right there. They could all go. I think there's a lot of
The last time they played in it makes, was 16.
And then you look at their last two bowl games. They went to Belk and Charlotte and Gator and Jacksonville. You know, they might want to be like, hey, let's get somewhere where our fans can can go.
And then, but a lot of it's ultimately going to fall back on the SEC and how well their administrators work it out amongst each other, which is why the craziest part out of all this, Luckett, is we've been doing bowl projections for like 3 months, and it's going to come down to backroom conversations in the final week of the season.
Right.
Kind of like how Mitch Marner got into the Gator, you know, 3 or 4 years ago.
But it also makes sense for A&M to, and for the SEC to want them to go to Texas or the Texas Bowl, just because they'll have a good crowd there.
Yeah.
So.
And Texas A&M kind of stinks. They're going
to
get crushed by
Well, that. I was talking to my father-in-law about this earlier at the house. I think everybody's overreacting to A&M a little bit because of that schedule they've played. Where they're kind of a hard team to judge because they've played ranked teams, but they're all in the top five. You look at Clemson, Alabama,
Georgia,
and then they lost a close game to Auburn.
Yeah, you're right. The thing is you know our producer Trevor Kelsey. Mm-hmm. He hates Jimbo Fisher, and when you just get people just dogging one person all the time, it starts to rub off on you a little. But I kind of like Jimbo. I don't know. He's a good old boy.
I like Jimbo. We'll get in this offseason. A&M has got a very friendly schedule next year. I think they got a chance to start 10-0 with their last two games, Alabama and LSU.
Oh, that'd be something.
So just get ready for that.
Get ready for that. I am getting ready to hit the road to go on Thanksgiving trip, but Kentucky was nice enough to let us do all of the media stuff on Tuesday so that I could see the in-laws, family, and whatnot in – Which, hey, did Dayton win, by the way?
They're playing right now.
Because
Big Dayton fans?
They're big Flyers fans.
Obi Toppin's a ball player.
Dude, he's a freaking monster. I had heard the name but didn't realize, he's averaging 27 and 8.
They're up 19 with 5 minutes left.
Oh, hell yeah. Let's go. Playing in the Toppin's Maui doing. Championship.
22 and 8. On 8 of 12 shooting.
Hell yeah.
This guy's
what I'm talking
a ball
about.
Player, man.
They got a kid, too, on that team that I think is Toppin's backup. He's like a stretch four that's from her hometown of St. Henry.
Oh, yeah.
He white boys shoot threes.
They might win that tournament. Gets rebounds. They're probably going to play Kansas tomorrow.
Yeah, and they could beat him. Also, if you want another really good battle for Atlantis game, I really want to see Miles Powell and Seton Hall go on a run down at Atlantis.
Them in Oregon, the first game is going to be good.
And then they could play Gonzaga. And then I just want Miles Powell versus Cole Anthony. Make it happen. Let's do it.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome. I was on a website today, too. They didn't even have a prop bet for Miles Powell to win Player of the Year. They had all these players up there. Freaking E.J. Montgomery was one of them. They didn't have Miles Powell.
What sportsbook was it?
It was Bet America. No. What are you doing?
Bet America?
Get your
stuff together.
But back to my original point, I spoke with some players today. Spoke with SEC sack leader Calvin Taylor. And your boy is not pulling any punches going into rivalry week. He's talking a little smack. I asked, hey, what would it mean to have your last game leave Kroger Field with the win over Louisville? We will win. It's just what it is.
Well, has this always been a thing, like to not say Louisville?
No, that's brand new. That's a Lynn Bowden thing, and I think it's the Ohio guys rubbing off. Now, the red thing, not wearing red.
You know what I think it is?
What do you think it is? You think it's a Frederick Douglass thing?
There's a new regime.
Scott County?
There's a new regime over at Louisville. I think Kentucky's trying to set a tone.
Like, we own you?
Like, this is, you know.
This is my house.
You're my son, and I am your daddy kind of thing.
You will not touch my drums.
Because, you know, it's one thing for the players to say that. Now, with Kentucky-Louisville, here's what Mark Stoops has done. When he came here, Louisville was like the superior program.
Mm-hmm.
But from the jump, Kentucky came out and was barking at them, saying, we're not scared of you all. You're not going to let you punk us. Like
quite
Petrino,
literally punching them in the mouth.
Like Petrino did before and called Kentucky, you know, slap dicks.
Yeah.
That's not happening. Like, we're coming out and we're going to bark at you. We're going to fight you. And we're coming to beat your ass. And that really caught, I think, Louisville off guard the first couple years of the Petrino era.
Especially that 2014 game.
Yeah, when they came out in 20, they were shocked at what happened in that game.
Yeah.
And so Kentucky, of course, loses a couple, and then Louisville gets a guy named Lamar Jackson and goes on this run. But now the tables have kind of flipped, and I think Kentucky – see something, and I think they're really trying to go for something here. Now we'll see if it's gonna if it works or not, because there's some stuff they're saying that could obviously blow back in their face if they if they don't produce on Saturday. But it's very very interesting. I'm a little bit surprised it's happening, but that's my theory. I think like this coaching staff is trying to set the tone, and really it all starts and ends with recruiting.
Well, and from the immediate standpoint, like, it's not going to affect recruiting for this class, but it really will, and especially in the culture, the trickle-down effect. Like, it. So, like, if you're the school that's talking trash and then steamrolling them by running for 400 yards, then they have no comeback. Whereas Louisville, like, I think, you know what I think it is too? I think they got really pissed off when Stafford started leaking that J.J. Weaver and all those guys were going to transfer.
Yes, for sure. That's going to be my next point.
I think that fired them the hell up. And now they're talking about playing Weaver and Casey in this game. And I think it's J.J.'s birthday as well.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how much Weaver plays in this game.
I mean, there's a lot of big picture stuff that's going down in this week. Well, and from just the plain me who loves trash talk, like, bring it on. Like, I love it. It makes things more fun. I hate the, you're going to make them mad bulletin board material. It's not a rivalry if there's not some sort of bulletin board material. Like, come on. That's what makes sports fun, mm-hmm. is chirping back and forth. And I'm happy that even before the game was over last week, there was a lot of underlying smack talk. And then as soon as the game ends, when Bowden's jawing, and then Calvin Taylor, who's like the nicest dude ever. Like, he's this big, goofy guy who just so happens to have transformed himself into a 6'9 pass rusher who's tied for the lead in the SEC in sacks right now. He was a basketball player with no scholarship offers. And he's developed into this badass pass rusher, nicest guy he could be, and even he's talking trash. When that dude's talking trash, that entire locker room is incredibly confident, and I'm glad it's coming from those guys and not like the like okay, I get it. Lynn is, but Calvin Taylor is talking trash. This isn't just Benny Snell, regular Joe. This is everybody thinks that they're going to kick Louisville's ass, and they're willing to go to great lengths to let everybody know about it.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And then on the other side, you hear nothing out of Louisville. I think even Des Fitzpatrick said he's not getting on social media this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Seems like they're all just – I haven't seen any tweets from Louisville make the rounds. It looks like they're all just, you know, this is just another game, day-to-day type stuff.
Sounds like a Scott Satterfield thing too.
Where Kentucky is like, this ain't just another game. This is – we're coming here and we're going to kick your damn ass.
Well, and this is – you know what it reminds me of too? Mark Stoops coached at the U for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't just, we're going to be quiet and we're going to go mind our own business.
Well, in Florida State, too.
Yeah, exactly. He has the background in places that talks trash and then backs it up.
Oh.
Whereas Scott and his sensible salad over at Appalachian State, you never heard a peep out of those guys.
Well, just his whole approach to this rivalry. Now, you can argue it hasn't been a success because of his 2-4 record or whatnot, but they have come out and played and talked with an edge in all these games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. This is going to be really – last year, you didn't really see it as much last year because Louisville, I think, was just so bad.
Yeah, they didn't even want to talk trash. They were like, we're not going to kick a puppy while it's crying, right. You know.
But this year, I think they're – you know, it's just this new administration. They're just trying to set a tone. And I'm sure the recruiting issue, I'm sure they weren't happy about that. Then when you look in the city of Louisville, this is where this game is going to have a real big impact. The sophomore class, so which would be class of 2022.
Yeah.
That sophomore class has got some ball players in it in Louisville.
Saylaw Brown.
There's a manual running back that's really good.
Yeah, is that a Northington kid?
Yes,
correct?
That sounds right.
And he's not. I don't think he's kin to Nate Northington. I don't think he is. But his last name is Northington,
right.
And he made Manuel, who sucked last year. It was garbage. They almost beat Mail this year.
That Saylaw Brown from Mail is probably going to be a blue-chip player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a couple other – and there's always a few. So there's – looking like that sophomore class is going to be a big class. And now is the time, once the season over, is when you really start getting working on those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids are going to camp this summer. And this is a big feather in the cap for whatever side wins the ball game.
Yeah. I'm excited about it. I don't know about you, but I'm pumped, and it's getting me in a trash talking mood. I'm probably going to go get on this group message and just tell all the Louisville fans they can just get the hell out of here because they stink. The noon kickoff, it's going to be wet. It's going to be cold. Pre-game shows will start bright and early. But I don't think there's going to be any lack of enthusiasm at Kroger Field.
Right. And I think I know why Calvin Taylor is a little bit excited. Louisville only throws the ball around 20 times per game, yet they rank 108th in the country in sacks allowed.
Whew.
I think Calvin Taylor thinks he's got a real shot to go win this SEC sack title.
The back-to-back SEC sack title leaders could have two combined stars and play at the University of Kentucky.
Yeah, that's crazy. It really is crazy when you think about
it. That's wild. That is absolutely wild. I'm jacked up. I don't want to do predictions. I will say I am worried about the special teams, but I'm confident Kentucky's going to run it down their damn throat. That 30-point streak, things going to stay alive. Can Kentucky get to 30?
First thing first, they need to avoid the slow senior day start. I think that's a real thing because everything in your pregame is kind of messed up.
Yeah, throws it off.
And avoiding the slow start, whereas Louisville kind of has an edge in that situation. So can they avoid that slow start?
Mike Edwards got the pick six last year that helped curve it, but Kentucky still didn't move the ball very well.
Yeah, and then your second question, can Kentucky get to 30 points for the third straight game? I think they can.
I think they can.
It's going to take some big plays. We've talked about Louisville's gap integrity. They've had some issues with their run fits this year. If they get a couple and it's the right play call and the right personnel with the football, Kentucky could house one for a big, big score. So we'll see. I think they can get there, but the key to the game really is keeping Louisville within 21 to 24 points. So they're going to have their 7-8 possessions.
Keep it a low scoring game.
Make it only give them three, maybe four scores in 7-8, 9 possession game.
Oh, man.
If they do that, Kentucky should be able to run the ball at will against Louisville. I think they can approach 400 yards rushing. And, you know, Kentucky's got to be due to hit one pass here sooner or later. You know, they have to be due. And does Eddie Grand drop a trick play this week?
Oh, hell yeah, he does. He was talking about dropping trick plays in the post game at UT Martin.
Do they do something with that triple option where they set that up and then all of a sudden when Bolden gets to the tackle, he drops back and they sneak someone out on a post or a drag?
I'd like to see the you think it's a speed option going right, but really it's Josh Ali running in reverse the other way. Mm-hmm. Flip it to him, a little end around action.
Do they let AJ Rose maybe throw the football?
I'm
interested to see. They're going to have something. Do they get Sawyer involved somehow?
I think it's really big that you hit one deep ball and that you find that hot hand at running back early. Because there's some times where you're late in the second quarter and you're like, damn it, Eddie, why are you still giving it to AJ? Or, Eddie, Smoke ain't got it today. Let's move on. That's going to be key. I think he's gotten much better at it as he's gotten a better feel for the young guys.
Right.
But that's huge, is finding who that hot hand's going to be and just letting him meet.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Man, I hope y'all are fired up. We got some time to kind of wind down, settle down. You got a lot more football to watch. You got some wine to drink, some tall, cold, light beers to enjoy at a market.
Yes, sir.
Some brown water. I typically enjoy Wild Turkey on Thanksgiving Day. It just feels right, you know. But, hey, if there's some bourbon place out there that would like to make us the official – would like to make an official drink, we'll drink whatever you give us and tell us to sell. We'll sell the hell out of it. It's like we'll happily tell you to go to mybookie.ag, use the promo code 11personnel, and they will match your first deposit. And $250 risk-free for the Lions and the Bears.
It's a win-win situation.
Win-win-win, and it's going to be a win-win-win when Kentucky plays Louisville at Kroger Field on Saturday.
Time to end that streak. Time to get that victory.
3 out of 4. Mm-hmm. 7 wins. It would be the 4th time Kentucky's gotten at least 7 wins under Mark Stoops.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can both count how many times they did that before he got there on 2 hands. So, big day.
Big day.
Big day in the bluegrass.
And no matter what anybody tells you, Kentucky leads this series 16-15. Do not listen to that garbage modern day series record.
Every game
that
counts.
Is a load of damn crap. Anybody that throws that in your face, throw it right back at them. with 100 miles an hour with some hot sauce on that son of a bitch, because that is ridiculous. This series is 16-15, not 15-10, not 3 out of the last 5, not 7 out of the last 11. It's 16-15. Kentucky won those games. There were games actually played. Vanderbilt won the first 12 games of the Kentucky-Vanderbilt series. You don't hear Kentucky going around saying,
well, we lead the series 49-29. Those games didn't count.
No, that's ridiculous. 16-15 is going to be 17-15 after Saturday.
Oh, man. That's what I'm talking about, Adam.
I'm done.
Go Cats. Go Kroger.